Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the ECL's second quarter 2013 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it's available on the company's website at www.ecl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that any information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed notes in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Lode Vardeyan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lode Vardeyan. I'm the General Manager of ECL. Welcome to our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the first half of 2013. Are here with me, Carlos Freitas, the CFO, Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Muñoz, our Investor Relations Officer. I will now refer to the presentation that we distributed last Wednesday, which you may download from the investor section in our webpage, www.ecl.cl. We first go to slide three to review some of the relevant events of the first semester. On May 16th, ECL paid dividends in the amount of $56.2 million, corresponding to 100% of 2012's net income, as approved by the shareholders in the annual meeting held in April. In April 2013, ECL completed the installation of back filters to reduce particulate matter emissions at six of its coal-fired units. This corresponds to the first stage of its $170 million investment in environmental improvements, which began in 2011 and will be completed in 2014. The following stage consists of work designed to reduce gas emissions so as to comply with new regulations. Celeri, which is associated to Standard & Poor's, upgraded the local rating of ECL to A+ from A, with stable outlook. In March, Codelco initiated an arbitration proceeding against ECL regarding a PPA signed in November 2009 for an amount presumably up to $42.8 million plus interest. ECL is convinced that it has fully complied with the terms of the contract and therefore believes the proceedings will be without relevant effect. The arbitration process is on course and there's no defined date for its resolution. In early January 2013, we had to take out of service our CTA and CTH units due to leakages found in the cooling system of both plants. The pipes were repaired and both units came back to service, CTH on January 25th and CTA on January 28th. The economic impact of the stoppage, as well as the potential responsibility of the construction contractor, are still under study. In the second quarter, we recognized a $6.6 million cost related to the repair work at CTA and CTH. Some measures, such as advancing maintenance works programmed for a later stage, were taken to mitigate this impact. Both plants have operated normally since they came back to service in late January. Now please turn to slide four to go over the first half financial highlights. Let me first remind you that beginning 2013, we have been consolidating 100% of CTH, as opposed to the partial consolidation applied through the end of 2012 in proportion to ECL's 60% ownership share. To facilitate the comparison, we have adjusted all prior figures as if CTH had been 100% consolidated. When looking at these numbers, please also bear in mind a few general factors. First, the LNG supply agreement, whereby mining companies bought LNG from the Mequinez terminal and sold it to electricity generation companies for its conversion into electricity, was in effect in the first half of 2012, but ended in September of last year. One of the main effects of the end of this contract is that today, there is less gas available for generation in the sink. The decrease is equivalent to approximately 200 megawatts of generation compared to 2010-2011 and 100 megawatts compared to 2012. This means that whenever any relevant cost-efficient plant in the system is out of service, the system needs to cover the shortfall with more expensive diesel generation, which increases spot prices and generation overcosts that must be paid by the generation company. Second, the mismatch existing in 2012 between the ML contract tariff, which is linked to Henry Hub, and the cost of the fuel needed to meet that contract has come to an end. During 2013, EC has been buying LNG at the Henry Hub-based price, which is the same index used for the ML PPA. The only remaining mismatch is much smaller and corresponds to the difference between the Henry Hub tariff applied to the contract and the Henry Hub tariff at the time gas shipments are made. The Henry Hub index is reflected in the ML PPA tariff with a certain lag, as it is calculated on the average price recorded in the 4 months prior to the tariff settling process, which takes place every 6 months. The recovery in the Henry Hub index in late 2012 and early 2013 has gradually begun to reflect in the ML PPA tariff in the second quarter of this year. Third, throughout 2012, the tariff mix of our unregulated client portfolio changed gradually to better reflect the new generation mix, which now has greater weight of coal generation since efficient coal-fired plants began operations in mid-2011. This process ended in the last quarter of 2012, and no more tariff reviews are foreseen for the near term. Fourth, the Misiones LNG terminal was closed between June the 1st and June 28, 2013, for maintenance and works needed to connect the terminal new onshore tank. This will allow for an increase in gas storage capacity and an improvement in the management of gas flows in the system. As a result of the terminal outage, there was virtually no gas generation in June, with a consequential increase in diesel generation, which caused an increase in the system overall generation cost. Fifth, marginal costs or spot prices have shown ups and downs, with a downward trend in general, reporting levels in the range of $66 to $78 per megawatt hour. However, two things have to be highlighted. On the one hand, these prices correspond to monthly averages and not necessarily to the prices prevailing at the time at which ECL effectively makes its spot energy purchases. Normally, spot energy purchases at the time of outages of relevant cost-efficient plants are made at higher prices, since the shortfall in coal and gas generation must be met with more expensive oil generation. On the other hand, these marginal costs are calculated based on a theoretical economic dispatch of power plants. They do not include the system generation overcost for reasons such as security, plants operating in test modes, or plants dispatched at their technical minimum level. This also causes generation overcost, most of which must be borne by generations in proportion to their contracted demand. These overcosts are ruled by the so-called RM39 and DS130 mechanisms and can be partially passed through to prices depending on contractual conditions with clients. Now, let's look at the table in slide 4. Operating revenues decreased 3% in the first half of 2013 due to a combination of an increase in physical sales and lower average tariffs. EBITDA decreased 19% to $170.9 million, and the main reason for this was the increase in electricity supply costs. The CTA and CTH outage in January, the maintenance of our Unit 12 and CTM1 coal-fired plants in April and May, and the closure of the LNG terminal in June caused an increase in our diesel generation on the one hand and an increase in spot energy purchases on the other. Moreover, the outage of relevant coal-fired plants operated by our competitors also put an upward pressure on spot prices and the system's overcost in the second quarter. As we will discuss in more detail further on, net income decreased 83% to $8.1 million, mainly due to lower operating results and a $4.2 million foreign exchange loss, which compared negatively with the $4.8 million foreign exchange profit reported last year. Net debt reached $610 million at the end of June, remaining at similar levels than last year. Now please move to slide 6 for an industry update. Slide 6 shows the electricity industry in Chile with its two main interconnected power grids, the SIC and the SIN. As you know, the SIN in which ECL operates is predominantly a thermoelectric system with demand dominated by mining companies. In the last NOW price publication dated April 2013, the National Energy Commission, or CNE, is forecasting a 6.7% annual growth rate for the next 10 years, up from 6.3% in the October 2012 publication. This is mainly based on the announced mining investments in the region covered by the SIN. We have excluded AES Genere's thermal Andes plant from the SIN installed capacity figures, since this plant is no longer delivering energy to the SIN. So the SIN reports total capacity of 3,966 megawatts, with ECL accounting for 54%. In terms of generation, coal accounted for 82% in the first half, up from 81% in the first quarter, and diesel also increased its share by 1 point to 8%. Gas generation decreased to 9% due to the closure of the LNG terminal in June. Slide 7 talks about the SIN's characteristics, such as the no exposure to hydrologic risk and most sales made to large and creditworthy mining clients, according to long-term bilateral contracts. Sales to distribution companies represent about 12% of the system sales, and these are supplied by ECL. The picture at the bottom of slide 7 shows the history of the SIN in terms of generation and prices. The brown line illustrates the system's marginal cost, or the spot price, which has continued to decrease after peaking in 2008. This has been possible thanks to the coal plant, which started operations in 2011, and the installation of the LNG terminal in 2010. In the first half of 2013, marginal cost in the SIN averaged $77.6 per megawatt hour, down from $97.9 per megawatt hour in the first half of 2012. But, as explained earlier, these prices are based on a theoretical economic dispatch model and do not include the overcost generally produced by the operation of diesel plants at their technical minimum, which has in effect occurred in the first half of 2013. Gas generation in the SIN has decreased after the LNG supply agreements with four large mining companies expired. While in 2010, 2011, and part of 2012, the LNG supplied by the mining companies reached the equivalent of almost 400 megawatts of electricity generation, in 2013 this number dropped to approximately 225 megawatts, corresponding to ECL's gas supply contract. At present, no other generation company in the SIN has availability of gas. In slide 8, you can find a list with some of the mining projects that have been announced in the region covered by the SIN, and which have not yet signed PPAs or other forms of power supply commitments. Although some of these projects are being postponed, electricity demand is expected to double in the following 10 years from the current 2,000 megawatts. This translates into growth opportunities for ECL. Our current ownership structure is shown in slide 9. TGS West, the leading global utility, remains as ECL's controlling shareholder. The second largest shareholding group is made up of the Chilean pension funds, which have steadily increased their participation in ECL to the current 24.25%. Foreign institutional investors have decreased their share, while local institutional shareholders have increased their share to 12.88%. Slide 10 now, which shows that ECL is clearly the largest and most diversified generation company in the SIN, serving over 60% of the system demand. In the last 5 years, its installed capacity has grown by 29% to 2,135 megawatts. As shown in slide 11, coal accounts for 52% of ECL's installed capacity. Gas capacity follows with 32%. ECL also owns gas pipelines, the Tocopilla port, and 2,287 kilometers of transmission lines. In December 2012, we sold the 174-kilometer-long Crucero Laguna transmission line to Transelec, given that this line was declared part of the trunk transmission network, requiring certain upgrade investments, and transmission is not considered to be ECL's core business. The sale resulted in non-recurring after-tax earnings of $20 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. Now in slide number 12, we provide an overview of our current commercial status. Our policy is to engage in PPAs for up to the equivalent of our efficient installed capacity of 1,165 megawatts. This number results from the sum of A, our coal-based gross installed capacity minus spinning reserve, self-consumption, and estimated forced outage rate, and B, 225 megawatts of gas available to run our combined cycle turbines. For the second half of 2013, the estimated consumption under our PPA is 1,204 megawatts, slightly above our net efficient capacity. However, ECL has backup capacity and also has portions of its contract portfolio with prices linked to diesel or marginal costs. In case of generation overcost, ECL has the ability to pass through approximately 60% of them to tariffs. For the following years, we can see a more comfortable situation after the expiration of contracts for 35 megawatts. The remaining average life of our contract is 10 years, with no major PPA maturities until 2017. Therefore, our recontracting risk is low. In terms of prices, we see that monomic tariffs to unregulated clients averaged $116 per megawatt hour, a decrease from $124 per megawatt hour in the first half of 2012. However, prices have remained stable compared to the levels reported in the last quarter of 2012. Prices to regulated clients also decreased from $105 per megawatt hour in the first half of last year to $94 per megawatt hour. But this last figure represents a 7% increase compared to the last quarter of 2012 due to two tariff adjustments. The first one, effective since March 2013, occurred because the applicable Henry Hub index used to calculate the ML tariff increased by more than 10%, triggering an automatic tariff review. Another tariff change took place in May, since tariffs are normally reviewed every 6 months in April and October. The pie chart in slide 13 shows that coal costs account for almost 63% of the overall tariff indication of our portfolio. Coal is followed by LNG indexation, the most relevant of which is the ML contract. The third most relevant indexation is CPI, which applies to the non-fuel portion of our costs. The left-hand side of this slide describes the ML CPA indexation and the lag with which Henry Hub fluctuations are reflected in the tariff. Now, slide 15 through 21 provides an overview of our project. As shown in slide 16, we continue participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers for the purpose of signing a PPA that could trigger the construction of our infrastructure and Energética-Mejillones project. This project consists of up to two coal-fired power plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. In addition to the mining projects under study in the SING, some of which are listed on slide 8, there's significant mining development in the Norte Chico region of the state, with mining companies concerned about securing their power supply at reasonable prices. If a transmission line connecting our power plant in Mejillones to the northern segment of the SIC is built, as shown in slide 18, we could be in a position to supply mining projects in the SIC region, thus expanding our universe of potential power off-takers. The execution of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. At this point, we cannot provide an accurate estimation of timing for the execution of the PPA. We continue to work on the capital structure of the project and the selection of key parties, such as the EPC contractor and potential financial financing providers. Then slide 16, which talks about Eléctrica Monte Redondo, renewable energy company owned by GDF Suez that operates in the city. EMR comprises a 48 megawatt wind farm in operation and the 34 megawatt Laca hydro plant under construction, with estimated commercial operation date in the second half of this year. Since GDF Suez has stated that ECL will be investment vehicle for the electricity generation business in Chile, ECL intends to acquire EMR from GDF Suez after the Laca plant is completed. This acquisition would help ECL to establish a presence in the SIC and to increase its footprint in renewable energy. As a transaction between related companies, the acquisition will be subject to strict corporate transparency standards. The Comité de Directores, with majority of independent board members, will be in charge of analyzing the conditions and providing a recommendation for this potential acquisition. As explained in slide 17, in July, ECL inaugurated a photovoltaic solar project in association with the Iborax Mining Company. This project is called El Águila Uno. It has 2 megawatts and has been developed as a pilot project. The next step is the 40 megawatt project, El Águila Dos, which has already received environmental approval and could represent capital expenditure in the order of $80 million. As discussed in slide 19, stricter particulate matter and gas, NOACs and SOACs emissions requirements were approved by Chilean authorities in 2011. ECL is investing to comply with the new emission requirements well before the due date. The estimated capital expenditures will amount to approximately $170 million over the 2011-2015 period, of which more than half has already been incurred. In April 2013, ECL completed the first stage of the program, which consisted of the installation of 6 tax filters and its coal-fired plants in Tocopilla and Mejillones, hence reducing particulate matter emissions. Slide 20 shows some of ECL's initiatives regarding innovation, social responsibility, and non-conventional energy developments. Then slide 21, which provides details of our capital expenditure program. This program does not consider any investment in major expansion projects. It does include the Aguila 1 solar project and preliminary project studies and preparation works for all our projects. Our capital expenditure program for 2013 considers investments over $180 million, primarily in plant maintenance and the environmental improvement program to reduce particulate matter and gas emissions. In the first half of the year, capital expenditures reached $71 million. And please move to the following section to discuss first half results. On slide 23, you may see physical generation and sales statistics. Physical sales increased 3% due to the new contract with El Tesoro and increased demand from Minera Esperanza, which offset a slight increase in demand from other mining operations due to strikes and bad weather. Physical sales to distribution companies also increased due to the natural growth in that segment. Almost 86% of the electricity sold came from the company's own generation, down from close to 92% in the first half of last year. This was due to a 7% decrease in our generation, mainly as a result of the CTN CTH outage in January and the lack of gas generation in June. Spot energy purchases increased by 292 gigawatt hours, affecting our profit margin. In the first quarter, leakages found in the civil works of the water intake pipes led us to take CTA and CTH out of service for approximately 20 days. The pipes were repaired and the plants have been working normally since the last week of January. During this outage, we performed regular maintenance work in CTA to shorten the next scheduled maintenance outage. Also, during the time when the LNG terminal was closed, we performed the annual maintenance at our most efficient combined cycle plant, Unit 16, in Tocopilla. On the right bottom corner of the slide, we can see how both CTA tariffs and market prices have shown a decreasing trend in the SIN in the last 3 years as a reflection of the system's lower average generation costs after the startup of approximately 800 megawatts of new coal capacity. Now let's move to slide 24. We can observe a 3% decrease in revenues explained by lower tariffs. gas averaged $111 per megawatt hour, down from $121 per megawatt hour the year before. But they have stabilized at a new level, with no further decreases expected in the near term. Tariffs to distribution companies decreased due to the lag, which low Henry Hub levels observed in 2012 were reflected in the contract tariff. However, they began to recover in March and subsequently in May due to increases in Henry Hub gas prices. EBITDA decreased 90%, basically because plants enforced outages, not only of ECL plants, but also of those of our competitors, and the outage of the LNG terminal in June caused in diesel generation, with a consequential increase in average generation costs in the system. This affects ECL in two ways: increased fuel costs per megawatt hour and an increase in energy purchase costs. This item increased in the first half of 2013. It includes both the cost of spot energy purchases and ECL shares of the system generation over costs. We reported some non-recurring items in the first half of 2013, which affected the income statement in opposite directions, with a net positive effect of $4.7 million. On the one hand, we recognized $30 million in insurance compensation to cover for business interruption losses during the CPH outage in the fourth quarter of 2012, but on the other, we expensed a total of $8.3 million in costs incurred in the repair of CPH and CPH water pipes and in the repair of the CPH serving gate. In the first half of last year, we had recognized a $1.1 million insurance compensation for a past loss at Central Tamaya. Please go to the following slide. Slide 25 shows this in a graphic way. As you may see, the most significant variation in EBITDA comes from higher fuel and energy purchase costs, mainly as a result of some outages, not only ours, but also those of the competition. Part of this higher cost was due to the CPA and CPH outage in January, and according to our estimate, had the outage not occurred, our first half result would have been approximately $60 million higher. We've had two positive effects. One is explained by the new contract and increased physical sales volume, and the other corresponds to the variation in insurance compensation. This was partially offset by approximately $8 million in repair costs. The temporary outage of the LNG terminal had a direct estimated negative effect of approximately $5 million. Finally, in the first half of the last year, we sold gas to generation companies in the city. However, this year, all the available gas has been used in generation in the city. According to our estimate, this explains an approximate $5 million reduction in our EBITDA. Our EBITDA in the first half of the year reached $180 million, down from $145 million in the same period of the year before. The following slide, number 26, shows the evolution of net income. Again, we see that the net income deterioration is largely explained by operating factors, namely the margin decrease due to higher operation costs. Depreciation increased by $4 million due to the overhaul of our combined cycle plant and the investments made to reduce particulate matter emissions. We also had a foreign exchange loss, while last year we had foreign exchange earnings. The net after-tax effect of the foreign currency effect was a $6 million reduction in net income. Several other effects, including the effect of the increased tax rate, contributed to explain the net income reduction to just $8 million, down from $47 million the year before. Minority interest corresponds to the 40% owner of CPH. Now, slide 27 shows the company liquidity and leverage. Available cash balances were $164 million at the end of June. Debt ratios increased as they are measured on the basis of four-quarter EBITDA figures. EBITDA for the 12-month period ending June 30, 2013, reached $227 million. Therefore, gross debt to last 12-month EBITDA reached 3.4 times, while net debt to last 12-month EBITDA was 2.6 times. EBITDA to interest of the last 12-month period reached 5 times. The next slide, number 28, gives details of ECL debt. There have been no changes from the last quarter other than the scheduled interest and principal payments. As you can see, ECL has no significant debt maturities until 2021. All debt is in dollars, and most debt is at fixed rate, with only 18% of outstanding debt exposed to variable interest rate risk. The following slide on page 29 shows the evolution of net debt in the first half of 2013. We started with net debt of $603 million. The main uses of cash were capital expenditures of $71 million, mainly related to the environmental improvement project and plant maintenance. We paid $31 million in income taxes and dividends of $56 million in May. Our debt balances also decreased for non-cash reasons. The negative mark-to-market valuations of our interest rate swaps decreased by $60 million due to the steepening of future LIBOR curves. The main sources of cash during the first half of 2013 were $106 million in cash from operations and almost $30 million in proceeds from the sale of the Cruzeiro Laguna transmission line. As a result, our cash balances declined slightly, leading to a slight increase in our net debt to $610 million. Slide 13 shows dividend payments. Since investments in large projects will most likely not take place this year, and given our strong cash position, the board proposed the payment of 100% of 2012 net income as dividends. Therefore, we paid dividends in an amount of $56.2 million on May 16th. Finally, on slide 31, it shows that ECL keeps an investment grade status with all our ratings unchanged except for an improvement in our local rating by Celerate, which is Standard & Poor's local associate. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you poll your question that you pick up your headset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Ivan Rudnick.
Hello. My first question is related about with the quarterly EBITDA generation. The company has stated before that in normal conditions, you should have a quarterly EBITDA of around $70 million. This is without considering the 40% of CTH that you do not own. Even though these previous three quarters you've experienced unusual events, such as the ones related to the L&T terminal and the stoppage of CPL CPH, I don't see that this level of $70 million is actually reachable in a normal scenario. And by normal, I consider the program maintenance of power plants, the rise of spot prices in hours of greater demand, and the overcost of the system. I got a second question that is related to the LNG supply and the contract that you have with the mail. As long as the demand of the mail rises like around 5%, is Suez going to provide you, supply you the extra LNG so you can fulfill this contract? And can they supply you an extra volume so you can even have you can be more prepared for events like the stoppage of CTH and CTH? Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. I must say the connection is very bad, and I've only understood half of what you said. So could you, in short, please repeat your question?
My first or second, sorry.
Both your questions, please, because we have intermittent reception of what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, my first question is related to the quarterly EBITDA. The company has stated before that in normal conditions you should earn a quarterly EBITDA of around $70 million. And this is without considering the EBITDA, the 40% of CTH that you do not own. Even though these previous three quarters you've experienced initial events, such as the one related to the LNG terminal and the stoppage of CTA and CTH, I don't see that this level of $70 million is actually reachable in a normal scenario. And by normal, I can include the program maintenance of power plants, the rise of spot prices in hours of greater demand, and the overcost of the system. My second question is related to the LNG supply. As the demand of the mail rises, is SUEZ going to provide you the LNG so you can fulfill the contract? And can SUEZ provide you more LNG so you can be more prepared for events such as the stoppage of CTA and CTH?
Yeah, okay, now I understood you better. The first question about the EBITDA that we would have in normal circumstances, I would assume that we are talking about between $50 and $70 million per quarter in normal circumstances. Now, it's clear that there are certain effects of the system on our EBITDA, which is not only the stoppage of our own plant, but also the stoppage of the plants of the competition, which will affect our results. And secondly, there's also some imperfections in the indexations of the contract. Most of them have to do with time delay, which also could affect certain quarters. Yeah. So in general, we have most of our PPAs are back-to-back with fuels, but there might be some time effects which from quarter to quarter might affect our results even in a stable situation. So I would say that the normal numbers for the EBITDA are between $50 and $70 million a quarter. Then on your second question, it's indeed true that it would be useful for us and positive to buy some more LNG if we could. Now, we have been discussing with a number of suppliers to see if we can buy more LNG. And although there are some quantities of LNG available, they are definitely not available at the prices at which we contracted the previous LNG. Yeah. So we are in negotiations with some suppliers, and we will probably import some more LNG in the next few quarters, but they will not be at the advantageous price that we have the rest of the LNG.
Okay, thank you, but is SUEZ going to provide you more LNG so you can always fulfill the contract with EMEL as EMEL's demand rises?
Yeah, but we have already in the original contract with SUEZ, we have foreseen that the number of shipments will increase to comply with the increasing demand of EMEL. So that has been foreseen since the start.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Gustavo Singre with IPAU.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first one is related to CTA, CTH outage. That you were saying that the effect is around $16 million. The first question here is, are you expecting this to recover the $16 million? And the other question is when? And the second overall question is, what after very poor or pretty poor results in the first half of the year, what should we expect for the second half and obviously for next year? Thank you.
So in as to the damages of the repair, I would make a difference between what is the property damage, so the cost of the repairing, and what has been the loss of business income. So in general, we have certain guarantee clauses with our contractor. So the plant is still under guarantee, and we expect to recover a big part of the repair cost. On the second part, on the business income, I must say, as normally in a guarantee contract that is not being covered by the EPC, and also there is a big deductible in the insurance. Yeah, so we have a deductible of 30 days for machine breakdown, and since the plant came back into operation, or the two plants came back into operation after 20 days. This is less than deductible, and we do not foresee that we will be able to recover business income. Yeah. But on property damages, we are quite positive that we will be able to recover a big part of that.
For the repair made to $8 million, do you believe you will be able to recover it?
Well, it's difficult to say, but if we do not go into arbitration or we don't have any legal dispute, I would say that we within the next 6 months that we should be able to recover these costs.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Diego Egerguren with Vice and Session.
Hello, thanks for the presentation. My question is, in this presentation, you show that you have contracts over your efficient contractable capacity until 2015. This situation has been a problem in the last results due to high dependency of spot market. Do you have any strategy to improve that situation in the short term?
Well, I would say that the problem is not so much in the exposure to the spot market. So part of our contracts have also an indexation to marginal cost and to diesel. And so I would say that although in absolute figures, it seems that we are slightly over-contracted, in practice, it's not like that. But in practice, it's also meaning that if we have a normal situation with not too much altitude of our plant, so no more than what we project normally. So we have been in a situation of virtual overcontracting due to the situation of our plant in the first half of this year. And secondly, there is, I would say, the situation of the overcost, which also affects us when, for example, another competitor goes offline with a big plant. We have a high overcost in the system because we, most of the time, in a situation like that, we have diesel plants working in technical minimum. And then the problem is that independently, if we are selling or buying, that we will have to pay these overcosts relative to our market share. So even if we are selling, we still have to buy to pay this overcost because we have more than 60% of the market share. And so 60% of this overcost will be charged to our company. This is how the system works, and there's no way around it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you again. To ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question is from the line of Rodrigo Mora.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the presentation. My question is, what happened with the LNG not provided during June due to the closure of the LNG terminal?
Rubido, indeed nothing happened to that LNG. The ships were just scheduled as not to arrive during that period. So that there was no LNG lost, it was just rescheduled for to have LNG available in the rest of the year.
So it's possible to receive the LNG in the next couple of months or not?
Yes, so part of it was received beforehand and other part will be received after the month of outage. It was just that a number of ships were rescheduled in an acquisitive way in order to have the same kind of dispatch during the rest of the day, except for the month of June.
Okay, so how many cargos the ECL, does ECL contract with Suez LNG?
So for the year of 2013, we had 4 ships contracted. And we bought one more ship from another supplier, of which half of it is ours.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from the line of Gustavo Singri.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't got the answer of the second question, which was related to guidance we got in the second half of the year and 2014.
Sorry, did I understand well that your question was already answered, or
What should we expect for the second half of the year, considering that the first half was pretty bad? Should we expect some recovery in EBITDA? Should we expect to be similar to last year EBITDA, or what are our expectations here? Because over the last three quarters, it has been, at least from my understanding, and this is only my opinion, it has been disappointing expectations.
Yes, so without doing any forward-looking statements, I would say that looking at the first half and comparing it with the second half, so first of all, we had some non-recurring effects for which we had to book the negative effects already, but we could not book any payments to compensate for these damages. So in case that we are going to get compensated in the second half of this year for this non-recurring effect, we'll improve, of course, our results. The second thing is that because of the LNG outage and also because of the outage of CTA-CTH at the start, we have been able to do more preventive maintenance in the first half than foreseen, which will reduce the preventive maintenance which will have to be done in the second half. Yeah? So we will have there an operational advantage doing less maintenance, especially in the coal plants, which will increase our generation and which will improve also our results.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you again. To ask a question, please press star 1. This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to ECL for any closing remarks.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention in this quarterly investor conference. As been said before, we hope that the second half of the year will give better results, especially due to the non-return effect that happened in the first half. But I cannot make any forward-looking statement about it. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you. This does conclude today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines and have a nice day. 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 And have a nice day.